It's wonderful to know no matter what you're dealing with, everybody's saved the same way. That's why when you meet a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a Christian Science, Baha'i Faith, it doesn't matter what their religion is. If they're saved, they're saved the same way you were. Amen? And if they don't want to be saved, you're not going to talk them out of their religion. I've only led 3 Jehovah's Witnesses to Christ in my life, and it's because they wanted to get saved. Amen? It wasn't because I was trying to show them how wrong their religion is. Don't argue with someone who knows more about their religion than you do. I told you about the deity of Christ, and then we went over the deity of Christ because we had not covered that. Understanding that Jesus is God, that's pretty fundamental, but they don't believe that, so you need a little set on that. This is what I thought would help you. A cult, I don't care if it's Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Islam, it's all the same. The way they think about the Godhead is 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. So here's what they say. There's not 3 gods, so there cannot be a Trinity. That is wrong. We know that's wrong from Genesis 1, right? God speaks of himself, let us make man in our image. And I've gone through that with you. Biblically, here's how you're supposed to think about the Godhead. 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. God the Father times God the Son times God the Holy Ghost is one God in 3 multiple forms. Y'all understand the difference? It's not 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. It's 1 times 1. That is a tool that can be in your toolbox. Amen? Look, I don't have to prove the Trinity, and I tell that to Jehovah's Witnesses. Quit trying to prove it. I believe it because God said it. I don't understand how 3 can be 1. My God's bigger than me. Amen? I don't have a God I can fully understand. I just trust it, and I believe it's that way because he said it. But that's a tool that might help you. On the chart in the back wall, in the Baptist history chart, you'll see in 2,000 years of history, the Jehovah's Witnesses came out of the Seventh-day Adventists. And here we are, you got the 1800s, 1900s, and right here, this section, the 3 cults that come from America is Joseph Smith, that we'll look at next week with the Latter-day Saints, and Mormonism. That happened in the 1820s. Then you have 1843, you've got William Miller, he starts the Seventh-day Adventists. Those are the people who believe you go to church on Saturday. And if you go to church on Sunday, you're worshiping the sun, and you're in an idolatry. No, we go to church on Sunday because that's when Jesus rose from the dead. We don't go to church on Saturday because that's between Israel and God. That's for Jews. We're Gentiles. Amen? We don't go to church on Saturday. From the Seventh-day Adventists will come in 1879, Charles Russell, the Jehovah's Witnesses. So the Jehovah's Witnesses come out of the Seventh-day Adventists. The Seventh-day Adventists were started by William Miller in 1843. He claimed to be a Baptist, but he was a former Freemason from Pulteney, Vermont. And from Daniel 8:14, he dated the second coming 3 times in 1843. Now, okay, Daniel 8:14, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. This is what Daniel 8:14 says. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Really? Daniel chapter 8 deals with prophecy concerning the Medo-Persian Empire and the Didache wars after Alexander, and you can go through it, but that is not, that had anybody who tries to understand Daniel without the book of Revelation comes up with junk like this. The book of Daniel and the last book of the Bible go together. They complement each other. Dorkhead here tries to take Daniel 8:14 out, says it means, look, those days numbers are either 76 months or almost six and a half years. But he comes up with this thing in 1843. This is the Seventh-day Adventist now. Jesus is coming. They name it on March 21st. March 21st comes and goes. We were wrong. It's April 18th next month, right? April 18th comes. No Jesus coming. Okay, it's October 22nd. Guess what? Came and went. So the Seventh-day Adventists are the first people to name dates of when Jesus is coming. The 1844 was called the year of the great disappointment. It was the year of the great disappointment because to the Seventh-day Adventists, Jesus didn't come in 1843. So at least you know the Jehovah's Witnesses get their dating that we'll look at from people who did the dating, the Seventh-day Adventists. Jesus told us, every Christian should know, nobody knows. The moment somebody says, Jesus is coming in, you automatically know that's when he's not coming. Well, if he was coming then, he ain't now. Because Jesus told us, and this is just a few of the scripture, just every Christian ought to know, nobody knows the date. And this Campbell guy a couple of years ago that was up in New Jersey that was trying to say Jesus is coming, people still fell for that. And I'm just sitting here going, wow, America's really hurting. Jesus said, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Mark 13:13, take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. No, nobody's supposed to be setting any dates. All we know is this, we're in the last days, and Jesus could come tonight while we're having church, like he could come tomorrow, and we're supposed to live that way. But do we know when he's coming? No. You're going to see a lot of date setting in cults. That's an automatic red flag that it's wrong. All right? So watch this. We know the Bible says nobody knows the date. Charles Russell's Taze, he doesn't look like a happy camper. In 1870, he went to a meeting and heard Jonas Wendell, a Seventh-day Adventist who was a follower of Miller, the starter of the Seventh-day Adventists. He heard him. He started talking to him. Really, you think Jesus is coming? And no, he didn't come in 1843 like you said. You would have thought that that would have been enough. You thought he was coming three times in 1843 and he didn't come, so okay. I'll go talk to somebody else. The last two verses in Deuteronomy 18, we read them last time, but watch this. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? How can we tell if God didn't say something? Verse 22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So that's God's description of a false prophet. If they say anything that doesn't come to pass, then you know I didn't send them. This has been happening for 2,000 years. It just so happens that Jehovah's Witnesses tried to, I think, top everybody on how many lies can they tell since they started. So, this is an important scripture to know, okay? Every Christian ought to know this. That's God's test for a false prophet. Charles Russell's Taze. The founders is Charles Russell's Taze, and then later on, Judge Joseph Rutherford. Began in 1879 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Then they moved their location to the headquarters in Brooklyn, New York. And there's the building, and it's got Watchtower. Everything that the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, everything that is printed comes out of Brooklyn. That building, just so everybody knows, is on the most expensive piece of property on earth. The Jehovah's Witnesses purchased it because they got a lot of money. Everybody knows Manhattan, New York's a high dollar area. But that is the most expensive piece of property, not in America, on the planet, per acre, if you went into the price. What's sad is Mr. Taze here, when he divorced his wife, and I forgot her name, starts with an M, but when he divorced his wife, he was a very immoral, unfaithful man. And the only reason his adultery is not put in the court records is because his wife didn't press charges. But in her writings, it's in her writings and the documents that she gave the lawyer, she just didn't push charges. He would put his arms around and kiss a young girl that was staying with them at their house. And then his statement, dorkhead here, his statement was, he says to this little girl, he says, you're my new wife. And she says, I'm a girl that's staying in your house. He says, you're my daughter, and a daughter has all the privileges of a wife. Cuckoo, nutso. This is an immoral man. And what you'll find out is when somebody's off on salvation, you will find out, I've told you this before, they're off on a lot more things than just salvation. How many of them deal in immorality? Mrs. Russell, his divorced wife, said, he put it in writing, and then he said, I'm like a jellyfish. I float around. Isn't it? This is, okay, just hang on. I'm a jellyfish. I float around, and whoever I touch, if they respond, then I take them to myself. And if they don't, then I float until I touch another one. He put that was put in writing, and he agreed to it. The man is a nut job. This is before the Watchtower and Jehovah's Witness stuff has started. Everybody understand? All of these people, the more you get, wait until we get into Joseph Smith next week. In other words, these are not what you would call geniuses. They are, I think they're demonic, satanic-filled people used of the devil. At least you know a little bit about the back. Now that everybody's grossed out, you want to go home? Their headquarters is in Brooklyn, New York, still is to this day. Rejecting the truth, I told you, when people reject truth and they say, no, I don't want to be saved, God teaches for this cause, when they received not the, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. How can somebody get wrapped up in this many lies and this much garbage? And I think some of them are sincere, and those are the ones who get saved. But those who say no to the Bible, when you say no to the Bible, I'm not going to do it, then you are left open to all of the devil's lies. And the Bible teaches that. In 1879, the Watchtower Society was started. It was not called the Jehovah's Witnesses until much later. It was called first Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence. Published 6,000 of them in 1879. Later on, after he dies, it's headed up by Joseph Rutherford. These are the publications of the Watchtower. They're Awake magazine. When you see it, that's Jehovah's Witness, the Watchtower magazine, and then the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. Here's what you got to understand about the timeline. In 1874, a man named Nelson Barber said Christ spiritually returned in 1874. This is an Adventist. This is the Seventh-day Adventist, and he's talking to Russell, Charles Taze Russell. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and look at verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, so these are the two angels saying in verse 11, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Here's what it says. You watched him physically ascend till he disappeared. Guess how Jesus is coming again when he comes back? Physically, you'll see him. When somebody says Jesus has spiritually come back, which several cults do, that's so you can't prove it. And after all, if you're spiritual like they are, then you can tell he's come. Y'all see that? It's a scam. Jesus said, I'm not coming back spiritually. Right now we have the Holy Spirit. And he says, the Comforter will abide with you while I'm gone. So we have the Holy Spirit now. But Jesus, to say this, that's why there's little red flags that ought to come along that shows you that what they're teaching is wrong. In 1879, the first Watchtower, Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence, is published by Charles Taze Russell. Then, because they named 40 years as the length of a generation, which is nowhere found in the Bible, they come up with this number 40 because it's a generation. They said from 40 years, from 1874 until 1914, this is when the end of the Gentiles or the end of the world is coming. In 1879, when the Jehovah's Witnesses start, they say, yep, Jesus is coming in 1914, and the whole world is going to be destroyed, and it'll be the end of the Gentiles. And they start saying this over and over again, putting it out in all their publications. In 1891, everybody else needs to know, Charles Russell adopts the cross and the crown as the sign of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Why is that important? Because Jehovah's Witnesses target Baptists that don't know their Bible. And they'll come to the house and they'll say, well, you know, the cross is Babylonian and it's a sign of idolatry. And nobody should have a cross. The Jehovah's Witnesses are the idiots that draw the pictures of Jesus dying on a stake like this instead of this. The red flag should be crosses all through your Bible. And didn't the Apostle Paul say, I would glory in the cross? In other words, I don't care if the cross is a sign of idolatry in other cultures. For us, the cross is a sign of that's where Jesus gained victory over death. Jehovah's Witnesses nowadays go to places and they'll say, well, does your church have a cross? Yeah, we got one on the front of our building. Yeah, it's a sign of idolatry. People who don't know the Bible and don't know what they're saying leave churches and go to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, we don't want a church with idolatry. Just dorky. This sign of the cross and the crown was adopted in 1891 by Jehovah's Witnesses or the Watchtower Society until 1928 when it was declared, this is paganism, we don't want this anymore. So now their sign is the castle. Did you see the castle up the corner? Now that's the sign of the Watchtower. But everybody needs to know they adopted the cross. It was there for several years and then they kicked it out. Judge Rutherford, he enters the scene. He would become the next president after Charles Taze Russell dies. But he attends a study in 1894 and he starts working his way up in the Watchtower Society. They asked him as he became a leader, Rutherford, they asked him, started getting letters saying, are y'all sure about 1914? Are we sure that the world's coming to an end in 1914? This is what he said in his own words. If we could change it, we can't because it's God's time, it's God's date, not ours. That just sets it more. This is the lie. Obviously, we know 1914 has come and gone and nothing happened. Rutherford backs it. He says it's God's date. In 1910, the Bible is forbidden by itself without the Watchtower. This is what they said. It is our experience shows that within 2 years, anyone without our material, if they only use the Bible, goes into darkness. On the other hand, if they merely read the scripture studies, in other words, the Watchtower material, and not a read a page of the Bible, they'll have the light of the scriptures. That was said in 1910. Why am I showing you that? Because your typical Jehovah's Witness, when you talk to one, you've talked to them all, because they all read the same material that's put out from their headquarters, and they have you think that we want to hold a Bible study in your house, but they never get to the Bible. All they study is their magazines and their writings. And they'll make reference to the Bible, but you never read the Bible. You read their material. A cult, listen closely, a cult claims superiority and doesn't try to teach you about Jesus. They want to replace Jesus. And they want you trusting themselves instead of the Savior. You'll see that as we go. In 1910, they said, we don't want people just reading the Bible or they will no longer be a Jehovah's Witness. And isn't that sad that they'd call the Bible darkness? That's pretty satanic. Sounds like the devil. I know somebody else who doesn't like the scriptures, the devil. Now, looking at this, remember this. When you say Jesus is coming and he doesn't come, that's a lie. Jesus told us, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he, the devil, speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, and then notice this, he is a liar and the father of it. And he'd be teaching that to our kids. When you tell a lie, you're telling something from the devil. The devil is the father of all lies. Well, wait a second. The Jehovah's Witnesses, we're going to see, have a history of lies. That means Satan is their father. Jesus told us that. That's not me stretching anything, but lies. Somebody makes one false prophecy. Look, when God through the Bible, as you read the Bible, 1,500 years before Jesus comes, they get the place right, the gifts right, the camels right, all the words that said Bethlehem. Charles Russell's Taze can't get a 40-year prophecy right with only two facts, the end of the world and Jesus is coming. Neither one of those happen. You're done. That settles it. False prophet. Okay? Father of it, these These people are liars. Next, Rutherford becomes the president. Charles Russell dies on a train in Kansas, and a few years later, Rutherford becomes the new president. Then they say, okay, 1914 wasn't it. So now in 1918, that's going to be when Christians that go to any church other than Jehovah's Witness are going to die by the millions in 1918. Guess what happened? Nothing. Line number two. Okay? Okay. What I feel sorry for is the people caught up in this. When you have a Jehovah's Witness come to your door, the first, I'm going to show you all the lies. The early history from 1950 before, what we're learning right now, no Jehovah's Witness is taught. They don't teach it to the Jehovah. You'll know more about the Jehovah's Witness's history than what the Jehovah's Witnesses, if they ever come to your door, know. Aren't you glad? Doesn't that tell you? There's no part of our history that we try to keep from anybody. Isn't it wonderful to be given a Bible and say, there's no part of that Bible that I don't want you to know? Learn it all. Absorb it. It's all true. Amen? We don't try to keep, well, you know, some things happened in our early history that we, that's them, not us. Amen? 1918 comes. Christians are going to die by the millions unless they go to a Jehovah's Witness church. 1918 comes. Nothing happens. Then, oh, it wasn't 1918. 1920, all human government is now going to disappear, and all the governments of the world are going to fall, and because Jesus is coming. All this is the end of the world type stuff. 1920, guess what happened? Nothing. Like, nothing. Then, oh yeah, it wasn't 1920. It was 1925 is when the Lord's coming. And Abraham, you see, how do you keep people when you keep lying to them? This is three lies have already come to, so you got to get more and more dynamic and weirderer. Oh yeah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are coming, and they're going to be resurrected from the dead. That's going to be 1925, then the end of the world is coming. Guess what happened? Nothing. All right? They built, for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Beth Sarim in 1929. They bought it in San Diego. It's a 5,010-bedroom mansion that they sold in 1948. And the moment they get it, guess who moves into it? Judge Rutherford, the new president. Because after all, somebody's got to, you know, keep it, you know, abide in it or live in it. And they said the records show the amount of alcohol he had sent to the house. Okay, the first guy was an immoral jerk. The second guy was a drunk. That's the leaders of the Jehovah's Witnesses. You do your own research. It does not take anything to find that out. Here, that's this. Finally, the title, Jehovah's Witness, is no longer Zion's Watchtower. The title Jehovah's Witness is adopted by Rutherford in 1931. And in 1930, they start saying vaccinations are bad. Now, I think there are some vaccinations that are bad, but they start saying it for religious purposes, not medical purposes. Then you're going to see in the 1940s, it's going to come along, and, well, here, I'll show you, no blood transfusions and all this weird. But remember, how do you keep people when you keep lying to them? How do you keep people from leaving you? You got to get weirder and weirderer, right? Come up with something new. The Watchtower of Presidents is Taze, Rutherford. When he dies in 1942, then Knorr comes along. He's the one who does their quote-unquote Bible. Then Franz comes along. And then Henschel, and the person who is now the president of the Watchtower from 2003 to now is Don Adams. Okay, great. We know that. Let's look at the timeline after. So we got the first four lies. 1914, nothing. 18, nothing. 20, nothing. 25, nothing. In 1945, they start teaching against blood transfusions. Look, God tells you to not eat blood. But they were saying, no, you can't take any blood transfusion. All this weird medical stuff, Christians don't have anything to do with. It comes from the Jehovah's Witness cuckoo birds. You understand? You ever heard somebody saying they went to the hospital, but they were denied, but they wouldn't let anybody treat them? Or the child dies because they need a blood transfusion and they won't let it do? That's all Jehovah's Witness stuff. That's not normal Christians. God says we're not supposed to eat blood. But God doesn't say that You can't take blood from somebody else. It's just ridiculous. But that's what happens when lost people read the Bible. And in 1951, the New World Translation of the Christian Greek Scriptures come out. It's weird when you look into who did this Bible for the Jehovah's Witnesses. Knorr starts it, and a German Catholic priest, translates the Bible for the Jehovah's Witnesses, but he feels he can do a better job if he marries a witch who can use medium spirits to help tell him what the Bible's supposed to say. when you take their Bible, they put the word Jehovah in the New Testament over 250 times, and it's not found one time in any other manuscript. And yet they call it the best translation and all this other stuff. And it's just, all they did was they changed the Bible to match their beliefs. That's what the New World Translation is. Comes out in 1951. The first finished, completed Old and New Testament comes out in 1961. In the 1970s, the Jehovah's Witnesses were at a height. I believe in 72 or 70 was 1 million people circulating Watchtower material. In 75, it's going to reach 2 million. After 75, from the 70s on, the Jehovah's Witnesses have been dropping. They are not what you would call, they're not a force like Islam. Islam's the fastest growing religion in the world. Okay, so that's just good to know. Let's watch what happens here. 1972. They said the world is coming to an end. Armageddon is getting ready to happen because the 6,000-year history, we added it wrong, and we finally figured out it's the distance between Adam and Eve. We don't know how long Adam lived until Eve was made, so it's 1972 now. Isn't that weird? 72. They're told all in the 50s, they start announcing 1972 is the year Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Then they start telling all the couples that Mary and the Jehovah's Witnesses don't have any kids until Armageddon. Well, then they go like 30 years, they get past childbearing years, and there were many people that were writing about the Jehovah's Witnesses saying, we were told not to have kids till after Armageddon, and now we can't have kids. And isn't that sad? Just the lives that they messed up. 72 comes and goes, nothing happens. Oh, it wasn't 1972. Yeah, it was 1975. Remember that Adam and Eve gap? We finally got it right. You would think people were selling their houses. Have you ever heard the story? I remember in the 70s, I was 6, 7, 8 years old. And I remember people talking about, why are people selling their houses and waiting on a mountaintop for Jesus to come? That was all Jehovah's Witness stuff. One person said, when my dad, in 1975... we were told that Jesus is coming in May. April came around. That's planting time, right, for the harvest. My dad planted a wheat crop in 1975. When we planted wheat that year, Jesus was supposed to come the next month in the Watchtower. They were totally disowned, kicked out of the whole society and everything. If you didn't go along with everything that they were saying, then you were ousted, okay? That's sad. 1975 comes. Guess what happened? Nothing. Like, you can even spell it with a capital N if you want. But nothing happened. Oh, it wasn't 1975. It was 1989. Yes, that's when Jesus is coming and the world is going to end. And the last date that the Jehovah's Witnesses to record are saying that Jesus was coming is 1992. The world is going to end. Guess what? The world came and went, and nothing happened. That is 8 prophecies that they said were wrong. And I'll tell you later, I don't expect you to remember all this. But the way you witness to a Jehovah's Witness is you point out what a liar the society is. And I told you before, they have heard about these, a few of them. But nobody in the Jehovah's Witnesses knows about the first 4. That's just good for you to know, okay? But it is in their writings and it is in the archives. So that is easily researched. You may not be able to do it at the door, but if they're really wanting to know, the information's out there. You don't have to dig a lot for it. Later, after his death, watch this. They changed, this was changed to represent the Watchtower Society and was reinterpreted to mean the faithful and discreet, watch what they called Russell. He was of the slave class. Then when Jesus didn't come in 1972, they divided the Jehovah's Witnesses into two classes because, actually this happened in 1925, because you know how they worked to be the 144,000? When the number of Jehovah's Witnesses passed the 144,000 mark, they said, well, then there's going to be some in heaven and then there's going to be a second class citizen. Okay, who wants to be a second class anything? Okay, oh really? I can be second class? So the Jehovah's Witnesses start pushing that. Do you realize God never calls you a slave in the Bible? You're called a servant, but you're not called a slave. You know how come? A slave doesn't have a choice. A servant does. We're servants of the Lord. We're not slaves of the Lord. Amen? It's your choice to serve the Lord because of what He's done for you. Amen? They call people slaves. Here, keeping on going, what do you have to do according to Jehovah's Witness to go to their paradise? They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell, which is weird. But the first thing I asked Jehovah's Witness this, when they were out passing material when we were in Tennessee, I said, okay, what do you got to do? Well, I said, how do I get to your paradise? This is what he said. He took me to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. And he said, you see right here, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. The first thing you have to do is acknowledge God the Father. I said, Jesus is teaching on prayer there. He didn't, well, that's what you got to do. You got to admit that Jehovah is the Father. Okay, next. Okay, I'm still not following you, but okay, so that's step number one. This is what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, and they teach this to this day. The next thing you have to do is obey God's laws and conform yourself to the moral requirements of the Bible. Doesn't the Bible say in Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek? The law was given not for you to keep to get saved. The law was given to show you what a sinner you are so that you would get saved. You can't keep the law to get saved. Aren't you? You break one, you've broken them all. Okay, what's step number three, Mr. Jehovah's Witness? You have to associate yourself with God's channel, the Watchtower organization. And this is the way they describe it to you. God's the father and the organization. Watchtower Society is the mother. Any society, look, they're wanting to dominate, and that's a cult. They're wanting to dominate people's lives. And they buy, see, here's how they make so much money because they print the material. Then if the Watchtower people, the people who distribute it, they purchase it at their cost. In other words, it's not given to them. Then that is taken as a contribution by the Watchtower Society. That's how they don't pay taxes. Then the Watchtower person goes out, sells it from door to door, and that's how come they're pushing it so hard, because they're trying to make their money back. Then any money they make, they have to send it back to the Watchtower, and that's another contribution. So there's no taxes either way for the Watchtower Society, which is how come they do what they do. You have to associate yourself with God's channel. And then finally, number four. So what do I got to do to get to your paradise, Mr. Jehovah's Witness? You have to show your loyalty to the Watchtower organization in telling others about the coming kingdom. In other words, you have to commit to distributing, purchasing the literature, selling it, and sending the money back to the Watchtower. That's the four steps to get to the Jehovah's Witness paradise. And even that, and isn't it sad? One postman said, he said, every day I would deliver, he said, once a year, he said, I deliver the boxes of this material. They have to pledge how many are they going to distribute a month. So I'm going to distribute 100 magazines a month. So they're going to buy 1,200 Watchtower magazines that's delivered to their house. One postman said, he said, the Watchtower person that I delivered it to, he said, I would bring the Dolly into his house, and he said one whole wall of his house was literally lined with liquor. And he says every year he'd offer me some for Christmas. Would you like a bottle? Thank you for bringing me my material. And he would say, no, I'm a Christian. I don't drink. And walk out. Didn't make the guy very happy. You would have thought he wouldn't, but he'd offer to give him to him next year. Now that you know this, how do you witness to him? We've tried to cover some verses on the deity of Christ. 1 Timothy 3:16 is a good starting place. Go to Luke 16. They believe that hell and eternal fire for the damned does not exist. Go to Luke 16. I'm just going to show you one thing on each one of these. And Luke 16. Jesus never gave us a example of someone who went to heaven. Think about that just for a second. Our Savior never gave us a truth. Let me tell you about somebody that died and went to heaven. But He did give us a story of somebody who died and went to hell. And Jesus preached more on hell than He did heaven. He did preach on heaven, but He preached more on hell. Look at Luke 16, and it's a passage that you ought to be familiar with. Verse 19, watch this. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Here's key point. A Jehovah's Witness, because you ought to bring up Luke 16 when you talk to a Jehovah's Witness. No, Jesus spoke of hell in Luke 16. Oh no, that's a parable. Why is it not a parable? Because in no parable did Jesus ever use a name. No, this is an actual account. And when Jesus said the poor man's name is Lazarus, we're not reading a spiritual story that Jesus told. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you a real account of somebody that died and went to hell. We don't have the rest of the time to read the story, but Luke 16 is a very powerful passage when you're trying to show somebody, no, hell does really exist. I told Jehovah's Witnesses when they come to the door, you don't believe in hell, but you're going to. And you're going to die and go to a place you don't believe in, but 2 seconds after you die and you start screaming, I promise you, you're going to believe every word of what I'm telling you. They don't believe in hell. They just believe when you die, you just cease to exist and you go into nothingness, which is ridiculous, not if we're made in the image of God, right? You're an eternal soul. Amen? Next, go to Revelation 7. Revelation 7. They're trying to be a part of the 144,000. I'm just covering this with you real quick, and you can look at it yourself. But Revelation, the last book of your Bible, in chapter 7, 7 and 14, two double numbers, right? So this has always been easy for me to remember. If I'm dealing with 144,000, it's Revelation chapter 7 times 2. Revelation 14 is going to give me the answers I need. Okay? Look at this. It says here, verse 1, it says, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth. And look at verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Stop. So then he's going to go through all the tribes, 12,000 from this tribe, 12,000 from this tribe. So the first thing you understand about the 144,000 is that they're Jewish. Unless you're from the tribe of Israel, you ain't one of them. And every Jehovah's Witness I've talked to, I'll say, so what are you working for? I want to be one of those 144,000 that gets to heaven. I told you the story of the Mexican lady I was talking to. I said, well, I showed her this passage. I said, you Jewish? Well, no. I said, strike one. Okay, let's look at the next. Go to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Look at verse 3. I'm in Revelation 14, verse 3. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men. The woman that's talking to me, distributing Jehovah's Witness material, I said, you ain't Jewish. She had a wedding ring on. I said, you ain't virgin. Strike two. The last part of the verse, you're female, you're not a man. Strike three. I said, you'll never make it. Isn't that sad? You're working for something you can never attain. To be a part of the 144,000, the Bible plainly teaches, and this is all during the Revelation, during the tribulation. When does the rapture happen in the book of Revelation? Chapter 4. That's when we're taken up. Yes, there'll be 144,000 Jews. We're in heaven when that takes place. I'm saved by grace. Amen? Let's look at one. Because of all this, they have proved themselves uncredible. The Jehovah's Witnesses, by their failed prophecies. I put down on your piece of paper, if you just had it, if you could bring up 1914, that's when it started. Maybe you could keep that somewhere. But if you're trying to witness to a Jehovah's Witness, you want to show them how bad their society has lied. That they are a false religion. If they want to get saved, praise the Lord, you can show them the plan of salvation. Final thing tonight, JW has given so much of themselves to spread the falsehood, and we give so little of ourselves to spread the truth of the gospel. Here's what the convicting thing about the Bible study was. I've been called a Jehovah's Witnesses many times. One lady over here, right off a little past y'all's house north, but I knocked on her door. This is what the old lady said when she answered. She said, "I was getting ready to get my gun. I'm sick and tired of you Jehovah's Witnesses coming to my door." And I said, "Ma'am," and you know, I showed her the track. I said, "I'm the pastor of Gospel Light." She said, "Oh, okay." She said, I'll talk to you." I've been called a Jehovah's Witness a lot. It's sad that we're called Jehovah's Witness, but not one Jehovah's Witness that's ever seen come into a door goes. Nobody ever says, "Oh, the Baptists are here again." That's sad. They give so much of their time and their money. They work for pennies. They go on missions trips at their own cost. The Watchtower pays for nothing. Everybody that works in Manhattan at that building gets paid pennies on the hour. They work for, they're paupers for their cause. We have the truth. We've been told to go soul winning. And every time I'm called a Jehovah's Witness, a knife goes through my heart. More Jehovah's Witnesses have been here than Baptists. That's sad. That's sad. As we study the error, I hope it spurs us. Praise God, we got the truth. We've been told what to do. I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, thank you for the truth. Lord, I pray that please we could use this.